podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
What is happening, everyone? Welcome back to another Reds in Europe to have a little chat about tomorrow's tiny game against Real Madrid in the Champions League at Anfield. I'm Mick, and I'm joined as well, not as usual, by Robbo. And it's been a while, hasn't it? Because I think we had you on, I think it was about 2 years ago now, back when we were doing audio only pods. But now we're coming up in the world doing some video pods. So it's nice to have you back on, Robbo. How are you doing?
Yeah, good, mate. Yeah, and thanks for having us on with your posh intro and everything there, mate. Gone up in the world, haven't you?
I know. I'll defer to Jay there because he's a little whiz with the old technology and videos and that. But yeah, it is pretty good, to be fair. When he showed me that the first time, I was like, "Fucking hell, this is too good for us. This needs to be the rap or Redman. We can't be having this." But yeah, obviously I gave it a bit of warning about this one, but what we do on the show now is a little 2 minute bottle question just to kind of get the juices flowing. But the question is from Chris Brach on Twitter, and it's, who was your favourite cartoon character as a kid?
So something I'm reading at the moment says that you should go with your gut more, right? So I'm going to go with my gut, because I think what happens is you can analyze a question too much in your head and you end up going down some avenue. So I'm just going with the first thing that came in my head when I seen that question, Danger Mouse. because I absolutely loved it as a kid, never missed one, loved the characters in it, but also as well, and this added to it being cool, like I was always into the Stone Roses, and John Squire was an animator for that company at one point, I believe. So that just made it even more cooler. So Danger Mouse.
Yeah, well, I also did warn you that mine was going to get probably a bit abuse as being a 90s kid, but mine's probably going to be Johnny Bravo, not going to lie. Love it, God. Love a bit of Johnny Bravo. Either that or Arnold from Hey Arnold. Just absolute two legends of the cartoon game, I reckon. But
showing our respective ages with those answers, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I didn't want to say it, like, but yeah, there we go. But Robbo, anyway, what we're here for is tomorrow's game. But before we get into tomorrow's game, I just wanted to get your, because I know in regards to Trent, there's been a lot of shit lately, hasn't he, in terms of on social media and his quality, and then not getting into the England squad. And then Andy Robbo said today that Trent should take it as a compliment, because that's to make that much noise about a player, he's obviously of the highest quality, otherwise it wouldn't be getting said, which is what Klopp's been saying recently for the past few weeks as well. And then you've got certain people on Twitter liking him to a certain David Bentley, and you're just like, what is going on in the world? What have you made of it all? It's absolutely crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a bit mad. It's almost like he's in a cycle where he feels he has to prove himself, because it does feel a little bit to me like he's being sucked into it by just his reactions and you know, are you not entertained and all that kind of stuff. Like, I quite like it, don't get me wrong, because it's a subtle way of sticking two fingers up.
Yeah.
But equally, I just think, just don't ignore all of it if you can, because I mean that's obviously easier said than done in the modern age. But yeah, I mean, it's been nailed there, hasn't it, by Robertson, saying that, you know, there wouldn't be the conversation if he wasn't that good. I just think so much of footy now is what I would call banter analysis rather than actual analysis, and it's like, you know, it jumps around from one figure to the next about who's in the spotlight and what we can say and what we can do and how we can get stuck into it. I mean, you know, the tweet you mentioned comparing him to David Bentley just so happens to come from a Manchester United fan. I mean, and that sort of says it all. It's like, you know, I'm gonna target a Liverpool player that I know they like because he's a Scouser, and I'm going to do something that'll get clickbaits, reaction, you know, and all that kind of thing. And I just think all of that's a bit shit. You know what I mean? It doesn't do it for me. I don't know if there's a generation that it does do it for. But I find myself backing away from, I mean, I did actually comment on that one, so I'm contradicting myself here. But in general, I sort of back away from it a little bit more than I did once. I mean, once upon a time, I was writing pieces or doing stuff on the pods all the time about blah, blahs wrote this and blah, blahs wrote that. But now I'm just a bit like, oh, it's a bit tiring for me now. Like, he's obviously a good player. He's obviously, he's 22 years old. He's won the Premier League, the European Cup, the World Club Cup, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Young player of the year. So, you know, there's absolutely no doubt whatsoever about his quality. And the idea he's somehow got lucky. Well, he hasn't got lucky. You don't do all that through luck. You're not the top assist maker from that position by luck. You know, he's got an absolute wand of a foot on him. And yet he could go and play in midfield. I understand that debate. And I do think at times, you know, he's prone to switching off a little bit. And he gives the ball away a bit too much. But I think he knows all of these things himself. And he's always looking to improve. I think about, with the whole debate, do you remember when we were playing City on the regular? And not just in the league. And there was all that thing about Sane, and he'd been ripped by Sane, and everyone was saying he was going to do it to him again. And then he just never got a sniff against them. And I remember all the clips. I remember a lot of the pundits who were now sort of having a bit of a pop at him were saying how good he was. So it just ebbs and flows, doesn't it? And I think you've got to take the highs and the lows together and just and meet them somewhere in the middle. I'm all right with Trent. I think he's a fantastic player. It's fantastic that he's from Liverpool. And it's interesting to see where his career goes. And right now, you know, he is going a bit high to low from one week to the next. So, you know, he did have a bit of a nightmare. There's no two ways about it out in Madrid. But then, you know, fantastic goal at the weekend. He was good against Arsenal. So it's more good than bad from him. And he's only 22. So there's years and years and years to come.
Yeah, I know. I'm exactly the same. I don't know what the thinking is. I don't know if, like you said, it is a generation thing where there's a lot of young kids on Twitter now and whatever else. You kind of just want to, yeah, it's just banter here where you just like just accept that someone's a good player. It's like I wouldn't dare go on Twitter and start going, oh, Wan-Bissaka's shit, because I know he's a good player. He's just got different qualities, and we know Trent gets a lot of abuse for not being good defensively when he actually is. And I think people still give him a lot of grief for the Rashford performance, and obviously, like you said, the Sane one where he then done well against him the next game. So there's a lot of that's just really, really baffling to me. But yeah, Robert, we'll get straight in tomorrow because I know we're on a bit of a time limit. But obviously, last game it lost 3-1. We're going back to Anfield tomorrow, hopefully trying to get we need two goals, don't we, and to keep a clean sheet first and foremost. But the way we beat Villa in that fashion, that's probably the best way we could have went coming to this game. Do you reckon that's right? Because obviously winning that game in the fashion that we did and last minute and playing quite well, albeit not great, but still getting over the line, I think that we can take a lot from that going into this game tomorrow, can't we?
Absolutely. I mean, look, there's been plenty of questioning of the collective will of the mindset, if you like, of the bunch of players that represent the Reds right now. For me, a lot of it's been over the top. I mean, I'll say it, and I'll say it till, you know, I'm blue in the face, that all, you know, these results don't happen this season without the injuries. You know, you can look for other reasons and all the rest of it, but it's ultimately down to the unbelievable run of injuries we've had, and particularly around one position. So to then knock that on and say, you know, there's something wrong with the mentality, I was never truly sure about that. I think it was more of, it would test anyone. It would test any player, any team, any club, any manager to have all those injuries in one position. And there would be a thing, a collective mindset, where you would start to go, okay, now is this never ending? When's this going to change? Like, you know, and you're only human if that happens. But again, it's sort of magnified and questioned to an nth, you know, a mad degree. So to me, it was only a matter of time before things started to swing back the other way. And I think we'll be absolutely fine next season when people are back in place and stuff like that. But yeah, you're right with Villa in that. You know, I was a little bit worried about it because I just, you know, you look at the Anfield record, obviously, since the turn of the year in particular. You look also at the manner in which, you know, they didn't turn up in Madrid and how that went. And so I was worried about it. So for them to dig in and win, and as you say, not always at the best, but that's more of a good, you know, imagine being in that dressing room, imagine being part of that team after you've won in that fashion. You know, the adversity that they've had all season, but the adversity that they had in the game, you know, like with the VAR decision and stuff like that, to be able to get to the other side of that and find a way, any way whatsoever, of winning and getting the 3 points, staying in the hunt for fourth, but also, as you say, the perfect prep for Wednesday against Madrid. Yeah, it was absolutely superb. You take that over like a comfortable stroll, I would say, because I think now the bouncing and training. You know, they've got the Anfield home hoodoo thing that was growing and growing off the back. And now we're back at Anfield again, quick fire, Real Madrid. And a chance to redeem themselves. I mean, look, I'm sure we'll go on to talk about it. It's going to be difficult. But the bottom line for me with Liverpool tomorrow is just going out there and showing what they're about, because they didn't do that out in Madrid. And that must be really frustrating for them, regardless of just the result. You know, the performance, the way they started the game, the fact that they couldn't even keep the ball in really, you know, in simple situations at times, and simple mistakes as well. I mean, thought you saw with Klopp's press conference today when he was talking about the throw-in that led to, you know, Madrid's third after we've got one back. That was one of the most frustrating moments for me as well. I just thought, you know, lads, you've worked hard to get back into the tie and then to throw it away by switching off. And, you know, and look, it was Fabinho as well who was switching off in that moment as well. Someone who's been fantastic for us. It was just out of character. So I'm sure all of them individually, collectively, and the manager want to put that right by showing that they can compete with the likes of Madrid tomorrow night.
Yeah, and like you said in Klopp's press today, I thought it was kind of like quite optimistic of him the way he was speaking about it. Like he said, when you're 3-1 down, it looks like you don't have a lot to lose, so we will go for it. The results showed that they were better than us, but it's only half time. And I thought that's obviously Klopp's not like always doom and gloom, but that's he's kind of been quite a bit middle of the road in quite a lot of his press conferences. So to say something like that and to kind of put like a not a statement down, but kind of saying, right, we're going to go for it and give it all we've got. Does that say to you that he's going to start all of the front four tomorrow, or do you think that's just kind of like to try and get the squad into the right frame of mind for this one?
I thought he struck a decent balance in the press conference today. Like I didn't think he went too far over the top. I didn't think he was, you know, he wasn't doing the tub thumping stuff that he would be doing if we were in the ground. And he acknowledged that, you know, it's not the same with us not there. It's almost an added challenge, the fact that you haven't got that at Anfield. So I thought it was about the right balance of saying, look, we're not out of it. We've got to show the best version of ourselves type of thing if we're going to get anywhere with it. But equally, he went to great lengths, I thought, to be respectful of Madrid, because he didn't want anything to go in the papers that would boost them in some way. I think he said, didn't he, you know, press conferences only ever lead to negative things, yeah. Which was quite amusing. So we'll see where it goes. But I thought he handled today pretty well. And he wasn't, you know, he was trying to do all the stuff about Liverpool being comeback kings and all that kind of stuff. And he was just sort of saying, well, yeah, that's happened. And some of the people who were still at the club were a part of that. So of course, that will be in them. But yeah, I don't think, you know, look, it's going to be tough. I mean, I think the odds, I was looking at the odds earlier today, and I think they say it all in that Liverpool are favourites to win the match, but Real Madrid are favourites to progress through the tie. And that's sort of where I am right now. Like, I want to be surprised and I want to be made up, and there'll be no one more made up if we do it. But at the moment, I'm like, I can see us scoring and I can see us winning. But then I can see us conceding as well, and it just being, you know, one of those. So we'll see. I mean, it is this morning, we were doing a show for the Anfield app, and I was really like, I'm a bit better now, but I was doing it with Craig, and he was like, nice one, lad. Because I was just like, look, at the moment, as things stand, I'm just a bit gutted. I'm not going. It's Real Madrid. You know, it's one of those, it's a club, a team, a city that you've grown up with and gone, well, for, you know, these are one of the absolute superpowers, and here's us playing them. And like, it's really one of those moments where you're like, shit, we should be there. You know, we should be like taking the afternoon off work, getting into town, having a few bevvies, getting in the cop early, getting the atmosphere going. And the fact that we can't all do all that, and it's almost like this weird pandemic sport instead of the one we know and love, sometimes does get to me. But now I'm up for it now. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to watching it. And there's a bit of it, and I think Klopp was getting this across in the press conference as well. There's a little bit of it. We've got nothing to lose. No one really expects us in the wider world to do it now. You know, I think you can get about 14-1 for Liverpool to win the Champions League this season now, because that's how far, you know, everyone looks at it and goes, well, look at Madrid. They've got every chance of retaining La Liga this season, and the 3-1 up, and they haven't been beaten since January, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But then I look at it and go, yeah, but they keep conceding goals though, don't they? Do you know what I mean? I think they've only kept one clean sheet in the last eight or something like that. They give you a chance. Like I watched them against Barcelona at the weekend, and Barcelona had 70% of the ball. They were hitting the bar and all kinds at the end, and they give you a chance. So the big thing, obviously, is when we get the chances tomorrow, because I think we will, got to put them away.
Yeah, and there's, like, with the first game and like Varane being out, and then since then I think Vasquez is out as well, isn't he? Right back or right winger, he's now a right back because he's filling in gaps like pretty much like we've been doing the whole season. But my next question's kind of fitted into what Chris Kelly said in the comments. Yeah, does Sadio deserve to start? Just going off a previous discussion with Mick, possibly not. Unfortunately, where do you stand on all this, Robbo? Because Mane's been getting a lot of grief this season because he's putting, what has he scored, 12 goals in all competitions, and the previous three he's got plus 20. So it's those high standards he sets for himself. It's to his own detriment, isn't it, that he's now not performing? Well, maybe not performing is not the right way of saying it, but not getting the goals, because that's all about these days, isn't it? If you don't get the goals and the assists, you're considered to not be doing anything for the team. And I think it's more of a confidence issue, isn't it, with Mane? Do you expect him to start tomorrow? I think it'd be mad if he didn't, wouldn't it?
I think he will start, yeah, because I think, you know, you mentioned, didn't you, in the previous question, you know, could you see him going all four? I personally think he'll hold Jota back and have him as your, you know, the lad you're pulling out your hat on 60 or 70 or whatever. And I think that's the way to go, because I think if you go all four, there's less of a surprise element coming off the bench then. Whereas if you go, you know, the three, but have Jota coming on, and Jota's great coming off the bench as well, by the way, then all of a sudden that's in everyone's minds, you know, Liverpool's, Madrid's. So, you know, I think it might not be all guns blazing like we would expect if it was a crowd. I think it might be more tactical, more chess-like, more like feeling each other out, see where it goes. And if Liverpool's still in it, you know, with half an hour to go, then that's maybe when you see something more bold, obviously, when it's time to go for it. But yeah, in terms of tomorrow, I think he will start. I think, obviously, he only come on as a sub at the weekend. And yet, look, you're right in that, you know, in front of goal, he's not being his usual standards, but I don't think his work rate's dropped off or anything like that. I don't think you can level that at him. But he's an emotional player, I think, and that's sort of what makes him good. You know, so you see him, you know, he's a ball of energy, isn't he? He gets stuck in, he's continually running at players. He's a bit of a nightmare to play against. But I think when it twists on his head and his forms against them, he gets in his own head about that as well. I mean, I remember, a time like this before with him where he missed a good chance against Everton and he was laughing about it. And I remember being in the ground going like, what are you laughing at, that? But then, you know, when I sort of thought about it later, it was almost he was like laughing at it being so ridiculous that he hadn't been able to put it away. And, you know, I remember there being talk of, you know, he Klopp chatting with him and getting in his head and all this kind of stuff. And I just think it'll turn the other way again. You know, it'll turn the other way again. So he's getting loads of stick at the moment. There's a million and one think pieces about his form and analysis of statistics and all that kind of stuff. But he hasn't become a bad player overnight. And I think it's only really come under the spotlight about his 12 goals, because Jota's also got 12. And so everyone's going, well, he's only been here 5 minutes and he's got 12. How come he's only got 12? But look, there's been a drop off generally in Liverpool's creativity this season. I mean, Mo's making it look ridiculous, scoring 28. But, you know, you look at the assists and the two fullbacks, the numbers have dropped off a cliff. I think actually Mane's up there for assists. He's got 6 or 7. Yeah. And I think Bobby's got about that as well. And they're sort of like the highest, you know, whereas, you know, what Trent's getting, what, 13 or something the other season and things like that. And then Robertson not far behind them. So to me, from where I'm looking at it, I think, you know, they haven't been as creative. There has been the collective funk of the shit show that they've been involved in. All that, you know, the injuries, the results, the VARs, the run of home defeats, all of that. But I don't know, Mane is a bit of a man for the big occasion. I mean, you can't forget about him against Bayern Munich and stuff like that. And he loves that kind of event. So we'll see. I mean, I just seen someone said there, didn't he, Mane masterclass incoming. I mean, let's hope so. You wouldn't rule it out, would you? Do you know what I mean?
No, and I think I agree with completely with you, Robbo, in terms of him being like an emotional player. And I think, I mean, I don't want to, I think it sounds a bit of a cop-out when you say having no fans affects a player, but I think he's definitely one of them that it does, because he plays for the fans. And I think it's similar to Firmino in a way that
absolutely
the fans aren't there. Like, we've seen it when he got that winner against Spurs. He ran down to the cop and was giving it everything, weren't he? And I think it's only recently that he's had a break from the team that he's come back in and looked sharp in the last game. So I'm hoping we see that tomorrow. But then in terms of midfield, what would you go as? So obviously you want to see Hotter on the bench. You want to go usual front three, and then who would you put? Because I think the back five obviously picks itself. So who would you pick in that middle three then?
I mean, no offense to the lad, but not Keita. that was a bit of a mad shout that from Klopp in the first leg, and I think it's fair to say it didn't work. I've seen some people saying, you know, Gini looks a bit tired and stuff like that, and I get that, and I think it's understandable the amount of football he's played. But I don't know; I'd be surprised not to see him. But then there's an argument, and it might not be a popular one, but there is an argument for Milner to be in there, you know, just for the leadership, because I think one of the things that sort of was a bit poor about the first leg was the lack of it, basically. You know, it was quite telling that when things were going tits up, there wasn't anyone sort of putting it right, if you like. And Gini, you know, as a captain, he's not the most vocal, is he? Let's be honest. He's a nice fella. He leads by example. He's a model pro, all of those things. But he's not a screamer. He's not a shouter. And I don't know, we were talking about this today on the wrap, like, and, you know, Craig was saying about leaving Gini out and seeing if we can get the angry Gini that we got against Barcelona when you bring him off the bench. So there's an argument for that. I think you definitely see Thiago. You definitely see Fabinho, and it's that other slot between maybe Gini and Milner. Curtis is still missing, isn't he, from training today? And I think he had a muscle issue at the weekend, but even so, it'd be a big shout for him to come in. Oxlade-Chamberlain, you can't see that either. So, you know, this is the thing as well. I mean, you know, the option, you just said it yourself, the back five picks itself, the option, there's still not that many options there. Do you know what I mean? You look at what City have been doing, the amount of rotation they're doing between games, and it's ridiculous, the depth of their squad compared to ours. I know we've still got a lot of injuries, but we're really missing Henderson. We're really missing the centre-halves. And we just haven't got the choice, and we haven't got the option to rotate. I think some of the signings as well, you know, so far they don't look like they work. So Tsimikas, I know we got the piece from Pierce today saying, you know, like, it's the settling in period and it's the typical Klopp thing and all that. But equally, my God, is Robertson playing some minutes over the last 3 years? And, you know, and then we got that Davis lad in, and I don't even know what he looks like. Haven't seen him. So, you know, you could have done with some of those signings being better, or being upgraded almost. So that is, you know, burnout, I think, has been a bit of a problem for Liverpool this season as well. But this does feel like, to me, one you get through on adrenaline, because it's Madrid, because it's at Anfield, because it's a big game. Because we've got Leeds on Monday next, haven't we? Yeah. So it kind of feels like you can pour everything into this, have a good go, and see where we get the other side of it.
Yeah, and I want to jump onto another Chris comment here. I mean, we haven't touched on Shaq because he's had like a lack of minutes, whatever, but it's a weird one, Shaq, isn't it? Because he comes on and he done well in the last game where he whips it in for Thiago, and I was wishing Thiago would have buried that one, and obviously he comes out and Trent scores anyway. But where do you see his future? Obviously, I don't know if he's going to go. I think he probably would have went last summer, wouldn't he, if the world was normal, and we probably would have seen Harvey Elliott stay. But there is a very outside shout for Shaq to maybe start, or maybe come on with Hotter, like you said, if he wants like a double tandem, kind of double force off the bench if we need a late goal or whatever.
Yeah, I think off the bench is would probably be the one for me again. I think I like him. I like that he's a bag of tricks, and he can do different things, and he can do the unexpected. Doesn't waste the ball too much, can thread a pass, can he's good on set pieces. You know, there's loads of reasons to have him around. In terms of his future, well, as you say, he probably would have gone anyway. I still think there'll be a knock-on effect even when football is back as we know it, in that, you know, perhaps clubs don't spend as much or move up players around as much as they once did. Maybe I'm being a bit naive there. But, you know, I just think it'll be harder. I mean, I think they would have moved a few on, to be honest with you. I think Origi might have gone as well. Maybe even Oxlade-Chamberlain. So, you know, you ended up, all of those lads stayed. But yeah, I like Shaq. I don't know, there's something about him. I still always hark back to when we first got him. We played a friendly against United out in the States. And we went on that tour with the rap. And, you know, when we go on some of the tours, we were sometimes fortunate enough to be able to get a bit of access, media access, because we can apply for it when we're abroad, as opposed to in Britain, where the rules are a bit different. And we managed to grab a couple of minutes with Shaq after the game. And I always remember John saying to him, like, well, you know, some start that, like scoring an overhead kick against Man United in front of like a record football crowd in America or whatever it was. And he was just like, what I do, like, I mean, it's just, you know, honestly, it was just like, I scored them all the time. You know what I mean? It wasn't a big deal to me. Like, yeah. And we were like, lad, it was an overhead kick. Yeah. So he has got that cockiness, that arrogance and that confidence, which means he's always a handy weapon to have around. And yeah, you wouldn't put it past him to do something tomorrow. I mean, we were talking about unlikely heroes before, and it looks like Origi won't be available, so he isn't able to come on and do his mad stuff. So maybe Shaq's the unlikely hero. Again, you wouldn't rule that out, like.
No, definitely not. I mean, I'd take an overhead to make it 2-0, and that's the game winner. That'd be typical of him, wouldn't it? Like you said, yeah. If that's that type of character he is, isn't he? But Rob, we're getting towards the end here, so before we head off, what's your score prediction for tomorrow?
I think it's dead hard. I mean, I'm a red eye. At the end of the day, you've got to go for something positive. Do you know what? I like the shout of that it goes to pens. That it goes extra time, goes to pens, and we win on pens. Because that will truly take everyone through the mixer. It will truly piss Madrid off, and it'll truly piss off all the people that we've all been talking about who seemingly don't like Liverpool, like to write bad things about us and our players and all the rest of it. So yeah, I'll take that. Go to on pens.
I don't know if my heart can take that, you know, to be honest.
You'll enjoy it. What else are you doing? We're only just the other. Yeah. And plus, you know, you can have a, if you've got somewhere where you can go and have a bevy outside, you can have a bevy outside now. So if you've booked in somewhere or you've got a way of doing that, you know, it's a couple of extra pints with your mates with something on. So yeah, I'll honestly, but anyhow, if we can somehow get to it, it'd be absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, same. I just hope we can do it. Obviously, it's going to, like you said, it's going to be a big task and a bigger task than it would have been, obviously, if we would have been allowed in the ground. But there we go. That's the way the world is.
I can't see us keeping a clean sheet is me thing.
Yeah,
but equally, I can see us getting chances the other end. And you mentioned before, you know, another player's drop down now for them out for the season. I just think they've been relying maybe on a bit of a core that late in the game will be a bit knackered. Because they're not going to do anything new. They're going to, you know, against Barcelona, they only had, like, I think they had 31% possession. I imagine they're going to try and hit us on the break again, let us burn ourselves out. But as I say, we let it go straight late into the game, start to use our subs. I can see it. I'm starting to sell it to myself now.
Well, after this half an hour chat, I feel like we're gonna go all the way here, Robbo. We're going to do it.
It's right. Let's do it. Istanbul. Here we come.
Robbo, well, nice one. We'll leave it there. Nice one for taking the time to come on. And if you somehow weirdly haven't watched anything of the Anfield rap, then I suggest that you go and do that. But I imagine you have if you're watching this video. Thanks again for coming on, mate. We'll be back tomorrow for the team news show at 7:15, and straight after we're celebrating what will hopefully be another iconic night at Anfield. So we'll see you again next time.
Podcast Network.